Hello and welcome to another episode of Loose Brews, the podcast from Shieldwall Productions, where we talk about anything and everything generally tabletop hobby related, from building and painting the miniatures to rolling dice and rules. This is where we talk about it. And on this episode, we have myself, John.
And Jacob.
And, well,
we have a lot to talk about.
There's a lot to talk about, again, because last time we did one of these, there was a lot to talk about.
Yep.
This time, there's even more to talk about than last time. So, Vigilus Open Day just happened as of this recording, this past weekend, and they announced a bunch of stuff over the past couple of days, and I don't really know where to start, but I've got a handy-dandy list that I wrote down in no particular order. Actually, that's not true. The order I wrote them down was the stuff I was seeing in order of seeing
yeah.
it.
By the Emperor, we have new models.
Oh, we got a shitload of new models. We'll start with a little... one last fleeting breath of the spoopy, scary Halloween stuff with
yep.
the Undead Blood Bowl team. Ooh. It looks pretty cool. What more can you say? It's the Undead Blood Bowl team. Skeletons, ghouls, witches, zombies, whatever. It comes with its own pitch, though. One for daytime, then you flip it over. Nighttime.
Nice.
Nighttime. Daytime! Nighttime.
You can always tell your opponent, too. Do you need a hand? Mm. You need to have a model with just, like, an extra hand.
Yeah. I get it.
Yeah.
I ain't laughing, but I get it.
I'm the funniest guy I know.
I know. They get, and the Necromunda Blood team gets, you know, the full Necromunda Blood Bowl team, or no, sorry, not Blood Bowl, Undead Blood Bowl team, reading ahead of my list. Undead Blood Bowl team gets the same treatment as all the other Blood Bowl teams. They get their own cards and dice. Undead dice. Bone colored, if I recall.
So white?
Yeah, off-white, bone color, whatever. Yeah, yeah.
So white?
Moving right along. Speaking of Necromunda, the next Necromunda Hive Gang has been announced. House Delac, the sporty-looking chaps in the trench coats. They look cool. I mean, I'm just getting impressions on this because there's a lot of other cool shit to talk about that...
Be extra wary of the Necromunda game in trench coats.
Yeah, because, I mean, trench coats.
Someone needs to go with fedoras, too.
He went there. I guess it's only fair that, actually, as of this recording, those episodes haven't come out yet, but in the next three episodes, at some point in the next three episodes of General Nerd Sense is when I was sick when we recorded them, I went there. I was meaner than you in that, though, and I apologize, and I'll apologize again in advance.
So,
the timeline's all out of order on this one.
I've actually lived long enough to hear you apologize for something.
Don't get used to it.
Oh.
I blame the cold medicine and the cold symptoms. And just being sick and not quite myself. It'll never happen again.
Sure will, next year.
Literally, it's a once-a-year phenomenon. I get sick once a year. And that was that once a year.
We need to double your cold medicine next year. We'll get some spicy podcasts.
I'm going to love with you. I don't really remember those three podcasts because I was not feeling good, Jacob.
To be honest, I don't either, but I just got off working like 86 hours that week.
Cool,
so.
It'll be new to everyone, including us. But moving right along, so... This is what I've really been wanting to talk about, in addition to other things, but first up, the new Gene Stealer Cult stuff.
Ooh.
So Gene Stealer Cults have been fucking cool since they came out. It's just like Games Workshop's like, okay, people keep doing Orky Mad Maxy armies, how about we just make a Mad Max army?
And
everyone's like, thank you. And they've gotten even more Mad Maxy.
Especially with those motorbikes.
Yeah, they got a quad bike and two motorcycles, and I think two out of the three models that they showed have dynamite in the rider's hands.
Yeah. Witness!
Get sanctified, motherfuckers.
If you paint them, make sure you do a little bit of, like,
silver.
Lead belcher
yeah,
around
silver.
The mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Or, what's that other silver? I have it at home. I just can't remember the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
Do a little bit of that around the mouth.
Yeah, point is, silver spray paint, because witness.
People are going to be like...
Shiny and chrome.
Did you mess up, you know, painting that? And it's like, no.
Think you just don't get the reference. And you need to educate yourself. You'll thank me later. But yeah, so that's next up on the Codex release dock is the new Gene Stealer Cults Codex. And there's also that Gene Stealer Cults Planner, or Tactician, or whatever. It's got the little tactical table, whatever. And they included an Easter egg, Games Workshop included an Easter egg of themselves. Because on the planning table, like, you know, if some of you look at that, it might look a little familiar with it. And they showed an aerial view of Warhammer World. It's just the layout of the buildings on the planning table. And they got it down to a T as far as, detailing goes, like the layout and the shape of the building. So, their sculpting processes have gotten really good.
I, for one, am going to take that and convert it into the Imperial Guard one of the, like, Renu commanders. I forget what's the one, it's not the Navigator.
The Adeptus Tacticae or something
like
that.
Yeah, the one that lets
the
you, like,
Yeah.
But that would look great.
Yes, it would.
And, I mean, you just gotta swap out heads. And
it really is that simple, because they're wearing Imperial stuff. Just swap the head.
Swap the head and, you know, just sand off the shoulder from that Gene Stealer cult sign and
the heretical sign. Yeah. Yes.
And you're good.
Yeah. Speaking of heretical things, for the holidays, boys and girls, the classic Noise Marine model is up for grabs.
Oh, yeah. And it's so pretty.
And that's one of the things, like, I honestly can't remember what the original one looked like, if this is just a re-release or it's an updated version thereof. I think it's an updated version thereof, but it stays pretty true to the original. It looks so fucking cool. I don't play Chaos, but I want one. Because it's so gaudy and loud. In, like, every sense. The picture that they showed, like, it is just bright colors everywhere. And they clash, and it's amazing. It's a guitar!
Yeah. And
with a port gun underneath.
Yep. The word glamour metal comes to mind.
Seriously.
Like, it is... It is that 70s.
But, like, because it's 40K, it's Twisted Sister style glam metal.
Yeah.
It's glam metal that's making fun of other glam metal and just does it way better.
It's like the Metalocalypse model of 40K.
Kinda, yeah. But not death metal. It's just loud and gaudy. It's amazing. It is, like, the original spirit of Noise Marines. I love it. I must have one.
I wish they, you know, would re-release, like, maybe just a couple Noise Marines that look like that so you could build up, like,
a squad.
Yeah.
Even if it's a little 5-man squad.
Because don't get me wrong, the new Noise Marines, they look cool.
They're great.
Yeah. But this is just, it harkens back to that, like, original Noise Marine look and, like, from the, you know, early days of GW, and I love it.
Especially with the color palette they chose, because it looks like that Noise Marine fell into a vat of rainbow sherbet.
Yeah.
And it just all stuck.
And it's so Slaaneshi, I love it.
But it's Slaaneshi without black and pink.
Yeah.
It's less you just all of the colors ever in the spectrum, because I fell into a vat of rainbow shirt and I'm loving it!
In a guitar with a bolt gun?
Seriously.
Underslung bolt gun?
I just want that, not the miniature version. I want one of those. Like, a life-size one of those.
Oh my god. And if you get one of the models, you could also put up, like, mini speakers behind them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what you could also do? What are, you know, those little, the plague drones?
Yeah.
Forge World makes them that aren't the plague version yet.
Mm-hmm.
Get those and put little converts of big speakers on them and just have them hovering over the Noise Marine.
You know what they should re-release an updated version of, or like a, like, retake of, is the old Orc Goth Rockas.
Yeah.
Because that's a full band. It's not just one dude. It's a full band. It's a full Orc metal band. You can't tell me Orcs don't play metal.
You can't. Well, I mean, they do.
You can if you want to be wrong.
They do play with metal.
Yes. Yes, they do. Heavy metal.
Just, you know, if they re-release the Def Gawkas. Gawfrakas, sorry.
It's Orcs, you're forgiven.
Yeah. You can do the Mad Max thing and put them on a truck.
Yeah. On a big-ass truck, too. Have it shooting flames and everything. Yep.
Have one of the Orcs hanging from bungee cables.
As the doof. Sorry, not the doof. Da doof.
Honestly, knowing Orcs, they wouldn't even have bungee cables.
That's safety equipment, Jacob.
Yeah.
Is not allowed. Is not allowed in Orc society. Safety equipment is not allowed in Orc society because they don't believe they need it, so they don't need it.
Exactly.
Everything is perfectly safe as long as they keep believing it's perfectly safe. As soon as someone's like, hey guys, this seems dangerous, it all falls to pieces.
So... Question, do orcs have how many days since an incident and just never tear it off?
Well, no, because that number keep increasing exponentially because, like, there's number of days since there hasn't been an incident, so the number just keeps increasing, which means orcs need to learn how to count to really high numbers, which is just, if they believe they can, because orcs.
And as long as the guitar is painted blue, they're lucky.
Yes. Yeah?
Yeah. Sound logic there.
But if they want to play... super fast thrash metal, the guitar has to be red.
Yeah.
Because red ones go faster.
But if they want more sound to it...
Actually, no, they only need the guitar pick to be red.
Yeah.
Because red ones go faster.
Now, if they should paint their speakers yellow, too, because they're louder.
Boom. Yep. But anyway, we got a list of stuff to get. So, it is the Vigilus Open Week. It was the Vigilus Open Weekend, and we've got a lot of news of the Vigilus Warzone coming up.
Yeah.
First of all, to the surprise of no one, it's going to be the Vigilus Defiant campaign book, which is just the next chapter in the Dark Imperium storyline.
Mm-hmm.
And when there, last time we did one of these episodes, like, who's going to answer the call to, you know, the beleaguered Vigilus? And I posited Space Wolves because I'm me. I'm not surprised that it's the Ultramarines. I'm just disappointed. I'm not surprised, just disappointed. Though we do get a brand new Marnius Calgar model in Primaris form, and he does look pretty cool, I'll give him that. Like, Papa Smurf looks a little bit better than he did as a normal Space Marine, I'm not going to lie.
The one of him just sitting on the chair?
Any of the other ones.
Do you remember that one that I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The one where he's sitting there? I mean, I still kind of like the look of that one, because he's sitting there like, God fucking damn it.
Yes. But any iteration of Marnius Calgar, because Marnius Calgar has been in some form with GW since pretty much the beginning,
mm-hmm.
so it makes sense that he gets the Primaris treatment. But my Space Wolves.
Now, question, do you think they're going to do Primaris for everything eventually?
I mean, they technically kind of have, like, because Primaris are available to all Space Marine forces.
Yeah.
But, like, as far as characters getting a Primaris treatment, maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see. It's a little early on, strangely early enough to tell, because they still got a lot of catching up to do as far as just factions and stuff like that go.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll see occasional Primaris re-releases of existing characters, mm-hmm. but we'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like maybe I wouldn't necessarily put money on it, mostly just because, again, Marnius Calgar has been with them since pretty much the beginning, so yeah. It makes sense that he gets Primaris treatment because he's super special snowflake.
So special.
But in addition to new Marnius Calgar, there's a new Black Legion champion model called Harkin Worldclaimer. He's got a chaos jump pack, and it looks like a fuck-off spear. It looks fucking cool, I'm not gonna lie. I'm no heretic, but, like, a cool model's a cool model, man.
Oh, yeah.
He's declared that he will claim the world of Vigilus for Abaddon the Warmaster in no more than 80 days. So, you know, setting the stakes.
80 days later.
And the war's still grinding on. Now, in addition to Chaos, there'll be Eldar and Orcs, of course, because if it's a big old throwdown, everyone's going to be there.
Do you think the Orcs are going to be late to the party?
I have a feeling they're probably there first.
Yeah.
They started the party.
The Orcs are always
They started
there.
The party, kept it going, and then Chaos like, what's going on over here? And Eldar's like, I'm interested in this.
We're not a dying empire.
Yeah, and in addition to that, because they also announced an upcoming, they've yet to give more details on it, but another campaign book called Urban Conquest,
ooh.
Which is a new city fight campaign book, as far as fighting narrative battles in urban environments. So it helps you map out your campaign maps in an urban environment. So I think this is the updated version of City Fight that they promised us.
You had my interest, now you have my attention.
Thank you for not going what you had written down in your phone before we started recording.
I love urban fighting.
Yes.
It's just cool.
Jacob, if you swivel around behind you and look at the shelves, there's literally an entire city over there. I love urban fighting, too.
I'm not looking at it, therefore it doesn't exist.
Whatever. Point is, urban fighting, it adds even more three-dimension to a three-dimensional board game.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with pitch battle and open field, but things tend to die very, very quickly. I like Wars of Attrition that grind.
Especially back from 7th edition rules, where, like, line of sight is important.
Mm-hmm.
Getting up on top of a building gives you line of sight of most of the battlefield.
Yes. I've been playing City Fight since City Fight came out. I love me some City Fight.
Yeah.
But because I love me some City Fight, and also whenever I play against Nathan, it gives me it kind of levels the playing field while making the playing field a little unlevel. Because just like, that's a lot of painful looking dock. I'm just going to wait behind the building, maneuver my forces, and then make him have to do some target priority rather than just standing out in open field and just like, shoot anyone.
Plus, urban fighting gives me a lot of places to hide my Cyclopses.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Wait, where did that Cyclops come out of? You passed up that parking garage.
Mm-hmm. You didn't check your corners. But in addition to that, as far as 40K and fantasy stuff, because if you guys remember the Wrath and Rapture box set, or box game that was teased last time, they've now shown a bit more of a teaser trailer for that, showing off more of the miniatures. Jacob, it looks cool.
Oh, yeah.
Again, I'm no heretic, but it looks fucking cool.
Everything
they didn't show a whole lot of the Korn models, but those Slaneshi models look so fucking cool. Like, not gonna lie. Now there's a new Karnak model that they showed off, and he looks fucking awesome.
See, there's nothing wrong with liking heretical models, because it's just something fun to fight against.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You want your enemies to look cool, too.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're fighting that old model that's, you know, still in fucking
fine. How many times are we gonna teach you this lesson, old man?
Fighting that fine cast model that honestly
his arm keeps falling off.
It's just depressing to fight. Just die.
This isn't a fight. This is a mercy killing.
I'm killing it just so you take the model off the field.
Make it go away. Stop making your saves. Not because it's a pain in the ass model. I just don't want to look at it anymore.
When the enemy kills your older models, so you put your newer models back on the field.
Just swap them out. Just like,
here. It looks better.
I'm doing this all a favor. I know, I do that, though.
Yeah.
Like, not even with old models, but with painted versus primed or unpainted.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, so primed or unpainted models in the front so they died, so I'm just going to take them out. Or painted models died, but there's primed model behind them, so I'm just going to scoot them back and take the prime model out, just so everything stays painted on the field as much as I can. Because as we all know, painted stuff fights better.
Exactly. Also, you know, I always do it as a courtesy to my, like, my opponent. Because I want my models
to look pretty while you kick my ass.
Exactly.
Also, as a testament to the whole painted models fight better thing, that is the reason why a 10-man squad of Grey Hunters got whittled down to a 6-man by a unit of, I think, 10 or 20 Chaos Marines. And then whittled that 10 or 20 Chaos Marine squad down to 6 without losing a man in return. Because they were all painted.
Yeah.
Nathan was kind of annoyed. He's just like, just die!
The paint protects me.
It does. Two thin coats.
Two thin coats.
Make
sure when you go on a date, guys, you bring two thin coats.
If the weather dictates. Anyway. In addition to that, we got the chapter approved 2018, more information for that coming out. A couple of things throughout to me of that, as far as the stuff that they mentioned, which was the open play character creation edition. So it lets you create your own custom heroes more so than I guess it already did, which I'm not opposed to.
Yeah.
More adding more flavor to your models, whatever.
Something I've been doing for a while already.
Yeah. Now there's
actual rules.
Now there's a system for it.
Yeah.
And narrative play, you get the Battle Honor system, which lets units level up and gain skills over the course of a narrative session. I like that.
Yeah.
Rewards those units for performing well and keeps the dice even more fickle than they already will be. And perhaps to the surprise of no one, because chapter proof is when they kind of adjust points, values, and stuff like that for match play, to the resounding surprise of absolutely no one, the Grey Knights saw a massive points decrease across the board. Because Grey Knights, it's the most expensive Space Marine armory points-wise you can bring out. Of course, they're going to see a massive points decrease.
Yeah, at the same time, I mean, they also kick ass.
Yeah, but I feel like in match play, just point for point, they needed a little help. So I get it, but, you know, surprise of no one. Two more items of note here. We'll just start with a cool one, because the next one requires a bit more conjecture on our part. New Titan!
Holy fuck!
New fuck huge Titan.
And it has everything I love on a 40K model.
Straight down to the name.
Yeah.
Warbringer Nemesis Titan.
It's again, just like
the most metal of metal Titan names for the most fuck huge, redonkulous looking Titan they've probably put out. Because not only is it a fuck huge Titan, I think it's about the size of a Warlord.
Yeah.
It's got a fuck huge cannon on the back, and it's the first Titan that's got straight up out of the cockpit spotters on his shoulders. Spot the fall of the fuck huge artillery piece that's got some sort of revolver style loading system.
The thing,
nightmarishly exaggerated.
The thing I love most about it too, it has like a little platform for the battery on top.
Yes.
And then it has anti-aircraft guns on it. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, thank you, GW, for giving me a World War II Titan. I love it.
Seriously. And it's also like, yes, Titans just in and of themselves are kind of about probably the most 40K of 40K things available in terms of miniatures. This is like the most 40K of 40K Titans.
Yeah.
In that subcategory. Like, Titans already the 40K and 40Ks, but this is the most 40K there is, because it's got a fuck huge artillery piece on the back, two tiny dudes spotting the fall of the rounds. I don't need it. Anti-aircraft things on the shoulders.
I don't need it.
And it's gargantuan.
I need it.
Seriously. It's so fucking cool.
Oh, that alone.
That's a list of things I will probably never own.
All around me are familiar faces. Yes. I need it. I need it so badly.
Yep, so now that Blackstone Fortress is kind of a little bit further along in its life cycle, they've since now announced that it's kind of the first step in a new run of stuff, because there'll be expansions for Blackstone Fortress.
Okay.
That allow them to kind of delve into other parts of the 40K universe that really haven't had a chance to. Because again, this in the Blackstone Fortress box, we get for the first time Chaos Beastmen and Navigators as miniatures, as well as a very long overdue updated Rogue Trader. We got a lot of cool shit. But apparently they said they're going to use this as kind of an avenue to flesh out more of the universe they haven't really had an avenue for in the past. This opens the door to a lot of things, Jacob. Because in just the original run of Blackstone Fortress, on the hero side, they got that Imperial robot thing.
Yeah.
It ain't. It fucking ain't.
It's one of the Iron Warrior automatons.
One of the Iron Men.
Yeah.
From, like, that whole War of the Iron Men thing, where there's, like, kind of just a blip, like, a footnote blip in the overall Imperial history. Because it came and went so quickly. But, like, it's just one of those things, like, that sounds cool. Tell me more about that. Like, that's all there is. You're like, no.
Give me more.
I said more. So if they're going to see, we're going to see more stuff like that. Wishlist, Jacob?
Oh, God, yes.
What do you want to see them flesh out?
Let's see. For one, I'd like them to add some sort of healing character. Maybe an updated model of the Sister of Battle Hospitaller.
Yeah.
Because that could feasibly.
We're
going to
see that with the Sisters of Battle. You know we are, Jacob.
It's possible.
No, it's not possible. It's entirely probable and will probably absolutely happen. Probably.
Some Voidsmen.
Voidsmen?
So, the Imperial Navy guys in void suits.
Mm.
That would be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I'd also like to see some of the creatures that are aboard, like, really old structures and ships in space that they're like, oh, yeah, they just don't go into room, you know, 3,792, that there's some sort of monster in there.
That or one of the expansions is a fuck huge space hulk slammed into the Blackstone Fortress and is melded with it, and something has been lost for millennia and thought no longer that has crept back into the universe.
Another thing. So, you know the boarding, like, capsules that slam into the hull?
Yeah.
Similar to that, but just have one of the set pieces be, like, part of the Space Marine boarding pods.
Yep.
Just, like, punched through the wall and undocked.
Yeah. Well, I mean, talking in terms of, like, fleshing out stuff from the lore.
Oh, the lore-wise?
Yeah.
Ooh, okay. I thought you were talking about models.
It can be both, but probably, you know, lore that models for it. I'm just going to throw out the obligatory squats here, Jacob.
Yeah.
Because if ever they're going to bring the squats back, this is going to be the avenue they're going to do it in. Because I doubt they do a full squat army, but, you know, they'll throw some squat miniatures in here and there. I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
Because people have been crying out, bring squats back! You can't bury this! You can't sweep this under the rug forever, GW! And then they did the whole, like, of the accepted abhumans, squats are among them. Just like, see, you pretended they didn't exist, but now they do.
Your copyright has... the copyright has ran up. You can use them again. Let's see. Honestly, I would like a little bit more fleshed out information on the abhumans in general.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of abhumans.
Both there. Tolerated and not.
Yeah. So, seeing a couple of those, I mean, I think they're called the Longshanks, which are more or less... So, you know how ogrens grew up on high-gravity planets?
Right.
And that's why they have a lot of muscle mass and stuff. There's the opposite Longshanks, which are more or less the...
Voidborn, basically.
No, even less so than that. So, they grew up on very low-gravity planets, and they're more or less the human equivalent of elves. They're very quick, very nimble.
But they're not Eldar.
Exactly.
Perfect!
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Get some, you know, elf humans that are accepted.
And then, like, stat-wise, they're a little bit between, in terms of, like, speed between humans and Eldar, but not quite Eldar.
Yeah.
But Yeah.
Squats would be amazing, too, because...
Please. Please.
Especially, you know, if they give us a little bit more lore on, like, what happened to their planet. Because right now, as the lore stands, they're down to a single planet, their homeworld.
Yeah.
So, perhaps making a little bit of an introduction back.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I mean, some information on, you know, Voidborn in general. Because there's a little bit known to that, like, the people born in space and how, like, the psychic radiation of, you know, the warp in space has affected them.
Yeah. Makes them a little off.
More Navigator information, too.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll see a bit more, at least a little bit more of that in terms of model and rules-wise and stuff like that. I feel like they probably will also use it as an avenue to introduce kind of the more, like, for lack of a better term, Looney Tunes style Adeptus Mechanicus stuff.
Yeah.
Stuff that wouldn't necessarily mesh in an overall army codex book, whatever. But just as a one-off, this is ridiculous. There is precisely one of them, so you can't spam it, but have fun with this glorified Acme contraption in a box.
Ooh, model-wise, Geller Field Generator.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Instead of, yeah.
Maybe, like, anything with inside the Geller Field Generator.
That has the keyword demon gets some sort of debuff.
Or you can't make psychic attacks to units inside the Geller Field.
Right, you gotta smash it down first, yeah.
That'd be cool.
That'd be interesting, yeah.
I'm
sure we'll see more Necron stuff. Again, more Looney Tunes-style Necron stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sure Trazen the Infinite will make an appearance, but, like, I mean, some of his henchmen or something.
More Rogue Trader stuff in general.
Yeah.
Rogue Traders have a little bit fallen by the wayside with...
Right, there's kind of a footnote in the lore now, because they don't really have an overall place in the grand sweeping armies.
Yeah.
Kind of dominate this stage of 40K.
Also, Imperial Sanctioned Psykers expanding on that a little bit, because now we're getting the Navigator, but...
Right, right. Yeah. So, interesting thing is that the Blackstone Fortress is just one of many such constructs.
I think there's like 7 of them or something.
Was used to destroy Cadia, unfortunately.
Yeah.
That's why the Imperium has taken such interest in this other one that's resurfaced. Now, they're apparently the last thing that the Old Ones left in the galaxy. The Old Ones aren't technically dead. They just have vanished. Neither confirmed living nor dead sort of dealio. I wonder if we'll get, like, shards of the Old Ones in the same as, you know, the shards of the Star Gods sort of dealio.
Yeah.
It'd be bold. It'd be a very interesting thing.
It's a bold move, Cotton. Let's see how it plays out.
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah. In general, just the amount of lore. Because one of the things about the Blackstone Fortress is they're one of the few pieces of Xenos tech that is deemed too invaluable to actually destroy.
Right.
So you have these long campaigns to just try to take one over because they're massive.
They're massive and they're a force to be reckoned with. They can literally destroy planets much easier than a fleet can.
Yeah, because, I mean, to give you an idea of the scale, this is where the Emperor class, you know, battleships have to dock and...
Right.
Places of this size.
Right.
Like, this is where you would house an entire, like, system fleet.
Blackstone Fortresses corner Death Stars in back alleys and take their lunch money.
Yeah. It goes up to a Death Star, and the Death Star is cute.
Yeah. Death Star is more of a basketball.
It's like a Frisian wolf versus a chihuahua.
I like the basketball reference better, because then we can get endless space jam jokes going.
Come on, slam. But, you know, I like it. It's a cooperative game, like Blackstone Fortress, the game itself.
Right.
And I'm excited to see what kind of expansions and stuff.
Yeah.
Partially because the models alone are fun.
Yes. And they're not just for Blackstone Fortress. They've since, you know, there'll be rules for the models for that for 40K itself, for translating those models to 40K. So it's not going to be like, well, if you want to play these models, you have to play Blackstone Fortress. Like, no. You can do both.
I wonder if they'll expand on the Iron Men and the Automatons.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Because the Automatons still exist to some degree, because I know there's a couple of them, like the Adeptus Mechanicus has several of them guarding things across the galaxy, but...
That no one's supposed to know about.
Yeah.
Because that is completely illegal tech.
AI
is illegal tech, but it's like...
They're not 100% AI.
Officially
they're
speaking.
They're like 99.99%, but...
Officially speaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe a toaster model. My Adeptus Mechanicus can finally be happy. I wonder if they'll expand.
You cannot fuck the toaster, Jacob.
I wonder if they'll expand on STCs.
Maybe.
Because that's another thing that's kind of like, it exists, but we don't know a fuck ton.
Right, because all those really do is just give us templates for, the Imperium templates for building shit. Like,
yeah.
Lehman Russell's came from as STC, the Rhino chassis, and the Predators came from STCs, the bolt gun, everything that the Imperium makes in bulk comes from an STC.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe an expansion will be, hey, there's rumors that there's a lost STC on the Blackstone Fortress, and then we got a bunch of AdMech stuff coming in, just like, gimme.
Ooh, Texorcists.
Mine?
Texorcists. You gotta go through the Blackstone Fortress and Texorcise stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah?
It gives a lot of potential. I'm interested to see how it'll play out and what we'll get from it.
Yeah, now going back to the whole, like, maybe a Sister's Hospitaller thing, we're going to see that in the fucking Sister's Codex, Jacob. You know we are.
Yeah. I wonder if it'll...
Because like, the Sister Hospitaller already had a model. Surely they're going to give the Sister's Hospitaller an update along with everything else in that codex.
I'm hoping it comes with some new rules as well.
You know it will. You know, everything's getting new rules in that codex, Jacob.
But, like, the original, they were so, like, base level.
Yes, that was 3rd edition, Jacob. We're now on 8th. We've gone through 5 editions. They're all getting new rules. This is how it works now.
Yeah.
They're not phoning it in anymore.
True. I mean, besides the Space Wolves.
Yes. Besides that, Jacob. Besides that.
I'm excited.
Yeah, so they also previewed the new stratagem for the Sisters of Battle called the Holy Trinity, and... Ooh. It's silly. It's a silly name, but it's also sillier in execution because if a unit fires all of their weapons at the same target, and it includes both a bolt weapon, a flame weapon, and a melt weapon, all firing at the same time, you add +1 to the wound roll results for that unit for the rest of that shooting phase. That's fucking hilarious. And they quantify as, you know, any bolt weapon that starts with bolt gun, so bolt pistol, bolt gun, heavy bolt, or whatever. Flame weapon, hand flamer, whatever. Heavy flamer, melt gun is the inferno pistols and melt guns, whatever. Like they clarify very clearly, like, this is what counts into this, go buck wild with it. And it's only one command point.
Not bad.
It screams to me, definitely meant for the Seraphim.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the inclusion of the Inferno Pistols and Hand Flamer, stuff like that. Yeah, getting close to those, close fire support of Seraphim, and behold, the Holy Trinity. So, this actually has gotten me thinking a little bit, just because all the stuff they've been previewing and demoing like that. Is that wave, and this is a question for you, Jacob, this is not just a hypothetical open-ended one, like, I'm looking kind of for the answer, or at least a point of debate here, is all these previews and demos of things that are, of specifically, like, highly anticipated codexes released, whatever, is constantly previewing little bits of it bad for that particular thing as a whole? Because I'm torn on whether or not it is. On the one hand, when they were getting us hyped, sorry, specifically me and all other Space Wolf players hyped for the new Space Wolf codex, it looked very promising. And then we get it, we're just like, you showed us all the cool stuff already. I mean, there's some other cool stuff, but you showed us the coolest stuff already. It's like, But on the other hand, one must wonder if they're kind of honing in that formula to figure out how to do it in such a way that doesn't do that again?
I think it has several reasons. For one, they're trying to cut down on leaking.
Right.
Because the leaking would come, and it's like, okay, so we've been, you know, trying to...
keep this as hush-hush as possible, and there's only so much we can do about that without forcing people to sign NDAs and all that sort of thing, and, yeah.
And, I mean, there's a couple different sides, I'd say. On one hand, if the release is going to be something that's awesome without the, you know, little, like, spoilers they give, then it's good. Because, I mean, you get into that ground of, you ever see those B-list comedy movies where they, you know, you watch the trailer.
And then you've seen all the funny parts.
Yeah, you've seen all the funny parts.
Yeah.
So you get into that territory. So I guess it kind of depends on the release.
Right.
And I think for the majority of things, with how GW is handling releases now, it works. They have enough good stuff that, so besides, you know, the couple cool things they show us, it looks good. I mean, you'll always have people who are like, oh, God, this sucks. But that's anytime GW changes anything.
Cynics are everywhere.
Yeah.
Don't change.
Exactly.
Like,
as long as, you know, if you show a couple of the models, as long as you have more models with that.
Right.
It works. If you have a couple cool rules, just make sure those aren't your only cool rules.
Right. And, like, using the Space Wolves as an example, like, they showed pretty much most of the cool shit in the previews. There was some stuff that they didn't show, but some of the stuff that they did show, it's just like, okay, well, all right. And that got me thinking, like, are they figuring out how to use these previews or whatever to kind of soften a blow as far as changes they made to things that people really liked that kind of made it...
overpowered?
No, that made it less overpowered. Like, the people okay. like, I really like the way it could just fucking stomp all over people with this. And they're just like, hey, so about that. You know, are they figuring out how to use this kind of soften the blow? Because if they didn't do any of these previews, like, hey, new Space Wolves, reminder, and, you know, here's a couple of models, but they don't do anything with the rules. And
you get blindsided.
And just like, yeah, here's all the rules, like, this is all the cool stuff. And, oh.
Yeah.
Like, do you think, like, heads up, like, it's going to be cool, but also some changes.
And, I mean, you could always run it through, like, a test audience to see how it plays out first.
Right.
Which... I think a lot of people don't understand, like, you get a
they super do. They've been doing rigorous testing with all the new rules and stuff like that. Now, it's all in-house people there that kind of like, hey, you're being paid to like these, but tell us how to make it better. It's like, I don't know if there's as much criticism that necessarily needs to be in the rules testing. I don't know anything about the process and how it goes about. Like, this is just conjecture on my point, so take everything I'm saying with a great, you know, hefty fistful of salt here.
I mean, it's one of those things, too. Like, personally, I don't honestly care too much about how much the rules change. Right. I like the models. I like playing the game and having fun as a beer and dice game. I understand that the competitive community is a big part.
Yes.
It's just, for me personally, that
that's not your hobby.
That's not my hobby. Like,
but that's the beauty of this hobby. There's so many different facets to it. Now, I'm glad you brought up the whole model part of it. And we'll switch over to this new sister stuff. If you recall, you know, because they showed... First thing they showed from kind of the prototype molds or whatever was a couple of the weapons. Looked beautiful. And like, and here's the test of heads from the new sister kit. And everyone's just like, what? The helmed ones are cool, but some of the unhelmed ones, I was like, what the hell?
See, I understand.
And they showed those so far out. That was back in the summer they showed those, Jacob. And people were just like,
I think that's good, though. For the sole reason, they're showing the heads. And if they get a bad reception on them, heads are probably one of the easier things to remodel.
I suppose, but because of how far in advance they plan this stuff, Jacob, I'm sure those molds are already made. I think it's more of just like, here's what the heads look like. So, as you can see, there's plenty of helmed ones, but you're going to have to pick your favorites amongst the unhelmed ones. Just, again, the whole softening the blow thing. So they didn't show any of the models, any of the bits of the models, any pictures of the models whatsoever, and then just released, like, here you go. And they had that, and people were just like, what? We waited 15 years? What? Again, heads up, softening the blow sort of thing. I wonder if that's kind of what they do with these model previews.
At the end of the day, though, the heads are the easiest thing to switch out.
I understand that. So as long as there's a calculated thing.
As long as the bodies look good, as long as the weapons look good, I don't mind having to buy heads because currently to build sisters, you have to buy a lot of stuff from a lot of different places.
I mean, as is now... We'll see when the new kids come out. I'm sure they're trying to kind of curb that a little bit.
I think it'll be good.
Because it's money out of their pockets if you go to these third-party people for bits and stuff like that. Not to say there's anything wrong with that. Those people make great bits and great add-ons to Games Workshop models, but it's ultimately money that Games Workshop's not making directly. They make money off the initial model sale, but then people getting the replacement bits or the swap-out bits, that's where they're losing money, where it's like, well, if we just offer more options that people might like and just with more stuff in the kits as a whole, maybe we can kind of... curb that a little bit. It will never fully go away, and that's the beauty of it. It'll never fully go away because there's still ways to just improve on, and Games Workshop literally can't do everything.
Yeah.
It just wouldn't be feasible, and also it ain't possible.
Yeah.
But I feel like that's kind of what they're doing. Just like, hey, so here's the heads. Now you have to wonder if that was all of the heads that are going to be available
probably
in the kit.
I'm pretty sure that's going to be
they showed 10 heads. They showed 10 heads. They're not... What kit comes with 10 heads and only 10 heads? For the 10 models in that kit. For a long time now, there's been head bit varieties.
I'm more than guessing that's going to be maybe a couple of head options. Because even for, like, the squad boxes...
Yep.
Like, let's take the Skittari, for example.
Yeah.
You have, like, three different variations of the heads. You have enough heads for pretty much three unique squads.
Yep.
I'm guessing that might be one variation, one or two variations for the standard box.
Right.
You're going to have a lot of different heads, is my guess, for, like, the command options mm-hmm. and stuff like that. So, I'm guessing they're trying to build hype. The heads, I guess, were probably...
Some of them got raked over the coals for it.
Yeah.
But that's kind of the, kind of par for the course as far as... the nature of the of tabletop miniatures as a whole is some people are going to really like what gets put out, and others will be like, what the hell is this? Hi, Wolfen. Still really upset about that, by the way.
I mean, I think at the end of the day, just the fact they're plastic is making my life so much easier.
I think that's also why they didn't get raked over the coals as much as they did. Just like,
they're plastic.
Fuck it, we'll take it. Plastic.
They're plastic sisters.
I no longer have to be built like the fucking mountain in order to lift my fucking figure case anymore.
Also, I mean, the...
I'm sorry, that's really kind of the bad way of phrasing it. It's like, oh, I no longer get to be built like the mountain in order to lift my figure case anymore.
Hey, you're taking the, you know, exercise out of playing the hobby.
I'm just going to wave at that one as it goes on by, Jacob. Because I can't really joke about that because the only shape I'm in is round.
But then you have guys like me where I literally have to put all my body weight in the opposite direction of carrying the case.
That's a you problem. And I'm going to be real here, Jacob. You're kind of on the minority side of body type builds for tabletop hobbyists.
When I carry my model cases, I have to make sure I have two of them that are equally weighted. So
otherwise,
you know,
your center of gravity is all fucked up. Yeah.
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 So, question.
Yes.
Do you think Forge World's going to jump on the new sisters?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. If not necessarily with... I'm sure not... Probably not really with models, not for a while anyway, but for vehicle upgrades and options, I mean, there's still plenty of...
Maybe head options, too. They like to do those little packs.
Every now and then, but it probably won't be for a while.
Yeah.
We'll see. I wouldn't be... Again, I'm not... I'll be 0%. I'll be more surprised if they don't. It just probably won't be until, like, after the initial hype wave has died down for about 6 months. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, just food for thought that I wanted to throw at you, as far as the whole leaks thing going. But that's kind of all that really stood out to me from the Villagerless Open Day weekend or whatever. It all looks super cool.
Yeah.
And there's plenty more than just what we cover, but those are just kind of the things that stuck out to me as far as highlight reel stuff goes. Because the other stuff I just don't know enough about, because I've got limited brain space. I do.
I gotta say, though, overall, it's good. Like, this has been one of those releases where I'd argue to say pretty much everything looks good.
Yeah, and but again, we're echoing what we said last time we had one of these weekender events.
Mm-hmm.
Just everything that's just like, that looks so cool.
It looks pretty.
But that's just kind of what Games Workshop's been doing for, like, a couple of years now. Like,
yeah.
Like, they just kind of keep upping the ante, and I don't really like, it's not going to dip back down. I think it's just going to plateau, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. Just a new standard.
Yeah.
Like,
which, if this is the new age of the new standard, I'm happy.
Yeah. No complaints here.
Yeah.
More things from a backlog that'll just sit there collecting dust on the shrink wrap.
God. I see, part of the problem with Sisters is I know, like, when Sisters come out, I've already told hobby shop I frequent that I'm gonna go in with like $1,000 and I'm just gonna be like,
give me all your sisters,
here's my money,
give me all your sisters.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, I got this box. No,
you heard
give me a lot of sisters. I meant give me all of your sisters of battle. Clear out the shelf, and everyone's just like, so I'm here to buy. Nope.
Just hug some bear, hug all
some
the
dude in a tracksuit came in and cleared me out earlier today.
He yelled a little cheeky breeky as he stole sister models and threw money at me.
The weird thing is, I owed him change.
The other weird thing is it was all in rubles. I don't know where he got rubles. There's not a currency exchange for miles, but
it was all in rubles, and I did the currency conversion, and I owe him a lot of change. He way overpaid for all those sisters. I think this was just more of a statement than anything.
And then he squatted outside and painted them.
Yeah.
I'm... Sisters.
But sister hype is building. The everything hype is building after this fucking Vigilist open week, open day shit. Like, it just keeps getting cooler and cooler. Oh,
we forgot about it. The Sisters Beta Codex.
Right, is in the chapter. Is in the chapter approved.
Yeah,
2018 thing. Yeah, it'll be cool. I'm sure.
Oh boy.
So one other thing that I completely forgot until just now, as far as cool shit. So you know those two kid-friendly books that come out, Jacob? They're gonna be two audio dramas. One of them, read by, I'm blanking on his name. One of the guys who played Doctor Who.
There's a lot of those.
Not, David Tennant, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, the scrawny one.
Gotcha.
Not the one with the kind of square jaw, the scrawnier, sillier one.
Okay.
I'm so sorry. And the other one is read by an actress who is also in The Doctor.
Okay.
I'm blanking on, I'm not a Whovian, I'm sorry, listeners.
I've never seen an episode.
I haven't either. I've heard great things, but I've got limited brain space. I'm sorry, listeners. I'm sorry, British listeners, for at that. But, like, that gives me even more hope for the success of those kid-friendly books, which, again, I have had no problem with since they were announced. Cool. I will potentially have kids one day. I don't really want to throw them into the fire with, hey, here's the Horus Heresy. Yeah, wait until book three.
I definitely will.
Listen, I want...
If you're joining 40K, gotta grow up fast, kids. 1 minute you're just a child on a Forge world.
The next it's being invaded by Tyranids.
Next you're getting firebombed.
Yeah.
But anyway, so...
Anyway. Just something, a little extra thing to get hyped for. Apparently that stuff will be coming out early 2019, if I recall correctly. No, it wasn't. That announcement came out, I'm sure everyone's like, yeah, old news. It's cool news.
I like it.
Yeah. But anyway, I think that's all we got.
Yeah.
So once again, listeners, thank you very much for listening to another episode of Loose Brews, and wherever you're listening to us too, be it iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, wherever. Don't forget to subscribe if you're not subscribed already. If you have any suggestions for future topics of Loose Brews, Lore Council, or General Residents, head on over to our Facebook page, shieldwallproductions@facebook.com.
Or hit us on Twitter at the official SWP, whether or not you want to say send me your favorite things that were announced this week, or you just want to shoot the shit and talk
about it. Or show your shiny models.
Yeah, or show us your shiny models. I'm more than happy to do that as well.
Indeed, and in case you are all not quite aware yet, we've got merch!
Ooh!
teespring.com/stores/shield-wall-productions. We got a whole bunch of Shield Wall branded merch. T-shirts, both men's and women's. Tank tops, both men and women's. A coffee mug. Phone cases for iPhone and Samsung. A couple of stickers and a hoodie to keep you warm if you really trust us that much. To keep, keep out hypothermia. I mean, I've got one. It's comfy as shit, and it is super soft on the inside. I'm not gonna lie.
It's pretty warm. I did almost die of heat exhaustion in one.
Yeah, they'll find out in the General Nerd Sense 61. I think about it. Yeah.
Is that... We posted the pictures already on it.
Yeah, context is going to be provided for those pictures, finally. Yeah. Yeah. Super cozy t-shirt. T-shirt. Hoodie. And, of course, we've got the... Hey, Patrick. Geowall t-shirt, and it'll probably be the first in a ongoing line of podcast reference t-shirts. But anyway, thanks for listening once again, and we shall catch you next time, nerds. Doodles!